We begin things by welcoming back to the program and back to the studio, braving the conditions out there today, our friend Mike Toole from Clearpoint Capital, the color analyst for the Maine Black Bear hockey television and occasionally radio broadcast. Mike, welcome in.
Hello, Richard. It's great to be here with you.
Yeah, nice to
great
have you
Great to be
you
anywhere
here.
After last night.
Yeah, you were down with Johnny Shields doing the Maine-UConn game last night, and you drove all the way back to Southern Maine last night after the game.
Huh? I rode. I did not drive.
Right. You rode, yes.
I let my junior...
let the young guy partner, take the let, wheel.
Yeah, so that was one of the conditions of my going, is that he has to do all the driving. So, yeah, he picked me up in Portland, and we buzzed down to Bridgeport, where UConn doesn't always play their games. They play most of their games at a different arena, but in Hartford. But they were playing in Bridgeport last night, yeah. So a little bit further drive. So.
But it was billed as a neutral ice game, was it really?
It depends on how you look at it. There was almost nobody there. So,
okay. Yeah,
so that's, right. And those that were there, there were as many Maine fans as there were UConn fans.
Oh, okay.
There were some Maine jerseys in the stands. So that was good. The only thing is one team drove a heck of a lot further to be there. So from that standpoint, I wouldn't call it neutral, but, it was a nice arena and, good venue. They have, regional tournaments there, right. For the NCAA tournament. So it's a pro arena, an AHL arena, and it was a good place to watch a hockey game from, and just wasn't the outcome that we were looking for.
Yeah, we were talking about before we came on, a good start to the game for the Black Bears last
night. Yeah, it really was. They were really firing on all cylinders. You want to play with a lead as much as possible, and they checked that box. They came out, fired up. They scored a power play goal. Jacob Sirota, nice power play goal right off the bat. A minute later, then it was Doherty that had a nice goal, and that put Maine in the driver's seat. But then shortly after that, at about, I want to say the five-minute mark, something like that, but it was an injury that sort of started to set the tone for the rest of the game. That was the injury to Trail Max, and he got taken out pretty hard and laid on the ice for quite a while. Trainer came out and took him off the ice, and he sat out a couple of shifts. And then he came back out before the end of the period. When he skated out, he looked like he was, looked like he was okay, kind of skating around. And then he took a couple of shifts. And then to start the second period, we saw him going up the stands in his street clothes. So we knew his night was over. Mm-hmm. So.
And we still don't know the nature of that injury.
Yeah, we don't. They do a lot of reviews now. There was not a call on the play. Trail Max was driving hard to the right post, and he had body position on the guy immediately behind him, who was really bearing down on him, and he was very aware that he was being pressured from behind. Don't think he saw the defenseman come across, and he really just took him out, and it was ended up in what we call in hockey a yard sale, junk everywhere. And it actually spun him around, and it hit the goaltender, knocked him down. His helmet was off. The net was off. It was just wow. Like a car crash. And when you see a play like that, and I'm immediately as a former referee, I'm looking for an arm in the air to indicate a penalty. There was none. And you're thinking probably head injury, contact to the head, that type of thing. They go over to review to make sure that there isn't a call. They had no call on the play, even after review. And Trail Max was, obviously stunned. And when he came out and skated around, I assume shoulder, right?
Yeah.
Because it was a high hit.
Right.
And it was in the shoulder area. I didn't see contact to the head, and I had a pretty good view from where we were. But, then I heard afterwards head injury. But head injury is not the kind of thing where a guy comes out and skates around and see if he's okay.
Right.
If you're identified as, possible concussion, they evaluate you and either you're back or you're not, right? You don't go out and...
Exactly. You're in that concussion protocol immediately.
Yeah,
in football, we've got the tent.
And
you go in there, and then if you come out, great, you're good. If not, then we'll see in a week or two.
Yeah, there's no coming out to see how it feels.
Yeah.
And so that would lead me to believe it
That's
was something...
That's the old days where you go, Mike, what happened? You get your bell wrong?
Okay. Yeah.
What's your name?
Yeah, how many fingers?
Right.
That kind of thing.
Oh, you're good.
Gosselin he's okay.
Put a Band-Aid on.
Yeah, smelling salts, remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
So I really have no idea because we stick around and do our post game, as you know, and the team is dressing quickly and getting out of there. And so we have no opportunity to talk to anybody afterwards to find out. So, and coaches are not usually very forthcoming on what those injuries are likely to be. And Coach Gendron is no exception to that rule. So unlikely we'll find out from him. But
so you had 2-0 lead. They came back. And then how about the game-winning goal? Was it a good goal?
Well, the goals that that UConn scored, they were good goals. The tough one that sort of started things going the other way was at the end of the first period. Craig Turnbull for them, number 8, he drives to the net, gets a shot on Swayman. Swayman uncharacteristically gives up a rebound. Now, there's defensemen in the area. There's coverage, but Maine gets kind of lost as to where the puck is, and Turnbull's the only guy that finds it and chips his rebound, his own rebound, up over Swayman. Well, there's 1:04 left in the first period, and you could see the balloon deflating a little bit. Giving up goals at the end of the period is really one of those cardinal rules in hockey that you want to just not do, okay? And so UConn came out second period, continued on with their momentum, scored the tying goal. That was a nice goal, and got the game winner in the third period. But Maine had chances. Trouble is, you're now without your top goal scorer.
Right.
The other guys on that line, Doherty, the center, and Fossier, they rotated a couple guys up there to fill in. They had Ryan Smith on the right wing filling in for Trail Max. They also had Patrick Shea in most of the third period up there. And those guys got chances. The Poisson line, I thought, was very effective all night long. But on the power play, they'd always try to isolate Trail Max on that off-wing side. They play one side of the ice, and then it goes up to the top of the umbrella and quickly over to the guy in that sort of trigger position in the face-off circle. And so it was Schmitz-Vestrup who was in that role, and he got a couple of really good shots away. They got blocked, but they set him up for some really good one-timers. The pass was right on his you want it right between his feet so he can step right into it. The passes were perfect, but just not the result they were looking for. But you know what? With Trail Max out of the lineup, you're trying to make up a one-goal deficit. Mm. You're now without your top goal scorer. He has a knack around the net. Missing him, I think, hurt quite a bit. And I hope it's not a case where he's out for an extended period of time, because that's going to be hard for this team to overcome.
Right, right. They've got a couple extra days off, because the next game isn't until next Friday, another road trip.
Right.
But not an easy game as they head down to BC.
Not an easy pair of games, two at BC. And that 10-day layoff would have been a lot nicer with a win under your belt. Coming into last night, they were in a 3-way tie for 7th place. And all the games of their 12 left, and now it's 11, they were 8 of them at home. They really just had to win this one on the road last night. And now, take points out of BC, even if it's, 1 or 2 points on the weekend, it means a lot.
Right.
There's only like 6 teams that separate 1 from 8, 6 points rather, that separate 1 from 8.
And obviously some winnable games in that stretch at the Alphonse.
Oh, no doubt. And last night's was winnable. So they just didn't really do themselves any favor by not taking what was in front of them. UConn had been... hadn't won in 5 games.
Right.
Maine was was undefeated since Christmas. So the teams were going in opposite directions, and just Maine wasn't able to close the deal. So they've created a hole for themselves that now they're in sole possession of 9th. Yikes.
Yeah, not where you want to be.
You're out of the playoff picture now, at least temporarily. So a lot of games left. You gotta win those games that you're supposed to win. We know Alphonse is a really good place for them. The Maine's a much better team at home.
Unbeaten this year,
right? Right. Struggled on the road. I mean, it was kind of similar to the other game that I did with Johnny back in December. Went down to Yale, and another case where Maine really just came out flying, owned the first few minutes anyway. And then, Yale's got pushed back and they score the tying goal. And that was a much different situation. Maine really got undisciplined in the third period, took a lot of penalties. It was crazy. Maine did not take a lot of penalties last night. I think they only had one. Went 1-for-4 in the power play, but only committed one penalty. So that's good. I mean, they have to play disciplined hockey for sure. But not closing that deal, I think, could come back and haunt them.
When's the next TV broadcast?
We're on the 31st against Merrimack.
Excellent. And any more radio games with John?
Well, that I don't have anything really scheduled, but it could happen if Larry goes down. You know, I'm there to pick up the slack if Larry happens to go down. But you know, Larry's schedule these days, he's covering a lot of things. Like the other night, he had women's basketball, and I think they wanted coverage for that, so that opened up a spot on the radio. Now with the high school tournament right around the corner and other commitments that Larry may have, if it comes up, I'm happy to do it. But likely it would be at home. There's not many road games left.
You guys sound good together.
Well, Johnny's a pro.
Yeah, he sure is.
You know, and I really wanted to experience the magic and the pageantry of sports radio, particularly on the road.
Oh, it is interesting.
Oh, yeah. I watched you and Bob, you know, went on that football
You've been
trip.
You've trips
went,
with us.
Man,
yeah.
I was so envious. I mean, it's so glamorous. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, but. Yeah, that's what it is. Every moment. Oh. Every hotel room, 4-star, nothing but the
I don't
best.
Know how you keep up with the autograph, you know, seekers and the paparazzi. That's why,
having
and,
a body double, I find, is very helpful. Take care of that kind of thing.
Well, that would work too, sure.
Mike, thanks so much for coming
in. Great to be here. Thanks, Rich.
Good to see you, as always. And thanks also for continuing to sponsor our Black Bear Reports with
Love it.
The newly expanded Wrapping Your Arms Around the Family, Clearpoint Capital.
Yeah, got both the kids on board. You know, full disclosure, they were on my payroll anyway, so you might as well put them to work,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's working out great. My son got his securities license, just got his insurance license. My daughter Jillian just got her insurance license, and we're having a lot of fun together building this family business and making it grow. So,
and we remind you, our Black Bear Report's brought to you by ClearPoint Capital, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears. Call this guy, Mike Toole, 307-7718. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Rich.